Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Children through, like he said he to a valley of defeat. You wonder if your father has heard your desperate plea, but there's hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear the Savior whispering, I am here and all is well?
I was talking to an individual the other night, and they said that they love Westside Baptist Church, and they've been thinking about joining up with us, and I'm glad of that. But she said something that sounded a little shallow at first, but I kind of like it. The more I think about it, the more I like it. She said that where she used to come from, where she used to go to church, they had a showers of blessings Sunday once a month. Because we seem to forget just how good God is to us. I mean, we can just deal with the shallow and the surface stuff for a moment. This lady was telling me that once a month they would have the God is so good Sunday, and one Sunday they'd have God is so good shoe month. And all the ladies would bring and put a quarter in the offering plate for every pair of shoes that God had given them. Amen. We could clean up on that one. Amen. Then someone else spoke up and said, well, we did the same thing, and we gave so much money for every electronic device in our house. And they'd give like a dollar for every electronic, like a phone, and $5 for every flat screen TV, and $10 if it was over 70 inches. Amen? I like that. And those are the temporal things. But nevertheless, God is good to us. I looked around, and every one of you look pretty well groomed. Look like maybe where you live, you have running water. and maybe electricity. And every one of you are dressed well. God is so good to us. I noticed as people were coming in. Yes, sir, go ahead. Amen. 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 Brother Joe wheeled in his truck, came in here the other day, and disappeared in the church van. And he was gone all day long. But he wasn't riding around. He was working on God's vehicle. See, God's so good to us to send us somebody like Brother Joe that would spend a day working on God's vehicle. I mean, God's good to us. But I was noticing earlier on, not one person came wheeling in the parking lot on a bicycle. Not one person had to use their skateboard to get to church. Every one of you somehow hitched a ride and was able to come to the house of God. God is so good to us. And that's not even counting what he's done for us when he saved us. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's good stuff. I appreciate them singing that song, even in the valley. God is good. He is so good to us. And I love this song, and I picked up the track on the way out of the church this morning. I had it on my mind when service was over, at the end of that service, the way it went, and got out in the parking lot and had forgotten my truck key. And so I came back in to get my truck key, and that song was still on my mind. And so I walked back to the closet where we've got a closet back there where we keep all of our tracks, and there's so many that you would have trouble going in and putting your hand on the one you wanted. But I walked in, and the very first thing I picked up was that track, and we listened to it on the way home. It's a song that I used to sing a long time ago, and with the way my throat's been here recently, it's not something that I felt like I could do and really do it the justice that it needed to be. Some of you have, I appreciate Brother Joe's testimony. Now, I said something this morning about being saved at a young age, 7 years of age. Some of you call out different ages. And Kathy said 52. And I said, you know, it was a blessing to me that she said 52. And I know that there's, if we looked at everybody's past before they were saved, probably wouldn't be the prettiest of sights if we were able to roll back that curtain and just see kind of where we came from and what we were before the Lord found us. Probably wouldn't be the best. But this song says, if you knew me before I knew him, you'd understand why I love him. We said this morning, you asked me why we act the way we act, and why do we come over here, and why do we work on vans, and why do we teach kids and haul kids in and do puppets and try to sing. And it's because there's a Savior that died for us. He did so much for us, and what we do back for him just really doesn't even hardly scratch the surface for how good he is to us and how good he's been to us. But if you had known me before I knew him tonight, pray for Wendy as I asked her this afternoon if she'd sing this song for me.
Just an old rejected relic on the auction block, they decided to throw me away. The auctioneer asked who will take her. The room was quiet. Step forward, and he said,
book of Acts in chapter 6, I want to go back again, or say again, yes, I guess we've been there once, so if we go back, that will be again. But we discussed the deacons, I forget exactly, I guess that was on, according to my notes, 9:25, I think that was on a Sunday, and we talked about the names of the deacons and what they mean. And what they mean to us, how their names, what they did, applies to our Christian walk. But in chapter 6 of the book of Acts, as you know, there were some disgruntled Christians. They didn't feel like the widows were being taken care of properly, and that created an issue. And so God had the congregation to appoint and lay hands on some men, and they would be called deacons. And in verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These men were great men. They were men that could be looked up to. They were men that the entire congregation could say, you know, I wish I could be like those guys. And so that what a compliment, if I may say, that God could bless us so much that others in the congregation would say, you know, these are the best of the crop. These are the cream of the crop. These guys can do the job. I can't, but they can. And what a compliment to these men. And of course, we know Stephen as being one of the deacons. He was the first Christian martyr that we find in the Bible. He was stoned to death for preaching the word of God, excuse me, and rebuking the Sanhedrin for their rejection of the gospel and their embracement of the traditions of the past. And here old Stephen lets them have it right between the eyes, and even calls them a few names, amen. But he was a serious man of God. And they hated him for standing for Jesus, and they killed him. And then we looked at Philip, the man whose name meant lover of horses. And, of course, he did a great work for the Lord. But then what happened with Philip? He was also martyred. He was also killed for the cause of Christ. Then Prochorus, the man whose name means to preside over the choir or leader of the chorus. And we talked about this man always had a song in his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, just for a moment, let's try to make that our testimony. You get up in the morning, you're hurting, you're tired, and man, you don't want to go where you're going. And sometimes that's work. Sometimes, be honest with you, sometimes it's church. Amen. Excuse me. The Lord choked me for that one. Sometimes it could be a family reunion, but nevertheless, we get up in the morning and we don't want to go. We don't want to do, but I just want to encourage you, Christian, to keep the song in your heart. Why don't you crawl in the shower and hum a tune that glorifies Jesus? Sing a little bit. Excuse me. Kick the devil in the shins with your song. And that's what this man did. And then we go to Nicanor, which means a conqueror. This is where we stopped at Prochorus. Now we pick up with Nicanor, and his name means a conqueror. In Romans 8:37, we are also conquerors. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. So Nicanor was a great man and chosen, one of the seven chosen by the congregation. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, that God chose to convict you of your sins and draw you into himself that you and I could be saved. That's even more impressive than the congregation appointing or choosing us. That God looked down to the eons of ages and picked and chose to make a way that you and I could be saved. And because we have Christ, we are more than conquerors. We don't have for a moment, Christians. I know that you go through some things as Christians. I know you may have not been what you should have been as a lost man or a lost woman or a lost boy or a lost girl. But now, as God's child, we are more than conquerors through Christ. We don't have to drop our heads. We don't have to bow down in shame. We don't have to bow our knee to this world system because we are more than conquerors in Christ. So Nicanor had that label. His name meant conqueror. Ladies and gentlemen, your name as God's children also means conqueror. By the way, this man was also martyred for the cause of Christ. Timon is another man, another deacon that was appointed by the congregation, and his name meant to honor, but even more so, to esteem. To esteem. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says that Psalm, in Psalm chapter 119, verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And what the Bible is saying here, therefore I esteem, therefore I value, therefore I believe all thy precepts. Timon was a man that esteemed and believed the Word of God. He put great value on the Word of God. And likewise, Christians, we should put a wonderful premium or great value. We should esteem the Word of God. Now, I'm glad we're to do that, but it goes even further. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see, and we beseech you, brethren. Now hear this, old Christian. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem, to value them very highly. Are you with me, Christians? Value them very highly in love for their work's sake. So here Timon is showing us through the definition of his name and his example here that he, yes, valued God's word, and we should, ladies and gentlemen, value his word. I know there's people that have little quirks, you know, and they show the value of God's word by, well, I refuse to lay anything on the Bible, like a picture or a letter. I want nothing ever laid. That's wonderful that you have so much esteem or value for God's word that you won't even lay anything on top of it. But I want to tell you, if you really want to esteem or value God's word, try reading it. Now, back to what we were talking. I don't know how I got back to the Word of God, but we did it again. So here we go back over here to valuing or esteeming the brethren in love.
The Bible says, for their work's sake. For their work's sake. Not T-H-E-R-E, but there. You know, not over there, but there. You know, there over there. And so, for their work's sake. Do you understand what's going on here? The Bible is saying that we're to esteem others for their work's sake, not our work's sake. You know, this kind of puts things in perspective when it comes to the nominating committee. Let me say this. I've been here for 8 years and some change, and I appreciate all the nominating committees, but I've never seen this year the nominating committee has met more time and spent more hours in prayer and meetings trying to get this thing right. So I want to say to you that we need to esteem or value their work and not get bent out of shape if we're not nominated to what we think we need to be nominated for. Hey, you know what? You know, I was doing some reading. And by the way, next Sunday morning, there won't be anybody here because I'm going to tell you, if God doesn't change my message, I'm going to preach on gossip. How's that? I was reading this a bunch of different men, but one fellow said, a gossip, somebody with a wide mouth and a narrow mind. That's right. So if you want to get bent out of shape and gossip about God's men that have put so much time and prayer and preparation into what we're going to discuss tonight, I want to say to you that according to some man that I read after, you've got a wide mouth and a narrow mind. Preacher didn't say it. Somebody else did. Amen. But the Bible says to esteem, to value them highly in love for their work's sake. That means this. Stop worrying about your own work and thank God and pray for those others that are also in the fight. So esteem them in love, not for your work and what you want to do, but for their work and what God has allowed them to be able to do. Get our eyes off ourselves. And then this same verse goes on to say, and be at peace among yourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not just a command, but that is the result of valuing, esteeming others better than ourselves. So we need to value, we need to esteem God's word. We need to value and esteem others instead of ourselves and what we want to do. Thank God that others have been given the liberty through nomination and the hand of God to do. And just pray for them. Amen? But also, it goes on in Philippians chapter 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let what? Each esteem, value others better than themselves. When we begin to value others rather than criticize others, we can move the mountains, Westside Baptist Church, that are set before us. I'm convinced of that. So don't get your feelings hurt because men that prayed for hours and weeks, met for hours and weeks, nominate, and if your name's not brought up, it doesn't mean you're evil or wicked or bad necessarily. It just means that this time God had a different route that he wanted to take. Amen, preacher. Keep preaching it. Yes, Lord. I sure will. Timon's name is also warning, is also a warning to the world as well as the Christians. In Luke chapter 16, the Bible says this, and the Pharisees also were covetous. Heard all these things, This is the Lord talking to them, heard all these things, and they derided him, the Lord. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Ladies and gentlemen, when we no longer esteem others and we value ourselves and our services above someone else's, hello, we justify everything that we say. Well, they're good, but if I'd been the nominator, I wouldn't have done that. Well, let's justify yourself before men like the Pharisees were doing. But God knoweth your heart. You hear this? They were justifying themselves to God. But God knoweth your heart for that which is highly esteemed or valued among men is abomination in the sight of God. We better remember this, that our opinion might not be the right opinion and could be the abomination before God. Now listen to this. What this word abomination, you know what it means in this text? Are you ready for this? The abomination was sacrificial flesh in the Old Testament that was sacrificed, and then it was left out too long, and it spoiled. It could not be a sacrifice. It could not be taken to feed the priest. It was no good. When we get our little noses out of joint, and we allow our opinions to supersede what God is trying to do through his people, it becomes like that cankered sacrifice that is laid on the steps too long to meet the need. So don't let ourselves be drawn in to, if I may say this word, as an abomination, a sacrifice that is no longer any good because we don't like the direction that God is trying to take the church and use those within the church to do the job. So isn't that good? I know it's not because y'all are so quiet. But nevertheless, let's remember this man. This man that esteemed others was also martyred and burned at the stake because he preached the gospel of Christ. Parmenas. Parmenas means, and this is the other deacon, standing firm. Ephesians chapter 6 says, having done all, stand. Have you done all, Christian? Have you done everything that you know to do for the Lord to keep your heart right, your mind right, and things just keep coming your way and you don't know what to do? The Bible says you've done everything you know to do. Just stand and let God take care of it. Amen. By the way, Parmenas was also martyred after preaching the gospel in Asia Minor. Isn't that something? I tell you, so far, every one of the deacons that we've looked at has been martyred for the cause of Christ. Well, aren't we glad the preacher's done almost? Then the last one's name was Nicholas. It means victory of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been given victory. We were dead in our trespasses. Our sin had overtaken us. We were everything that we shouldn't be to have a relationship with the Lord. It's nothing that we could help, because the day we were born, We were born into this thing that divided us and separated us from a holy God. So there we are, doomed from day one and defeated from day one. But praise be to God, we had victory just over the horizon. Psalm 98 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory." Victory over death, victory over the grave, victory over the cross, victory over the nails, victory over the thorny crown, victory over the spear in the side. Victory, victory, victory over the tomb. Well, and we read this morning, because he was victorious, because he was raised by the Spirit, we also are going to be raised by the Spirit. We also are victorious. Isaiah says, in chapter 25, he will swallow up death in victory. Amen. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is victory. 1 Corinthians 15, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So these men were great men of God, and their names meant something, and their lives meant something. And their deaths meant something. You know, I know folks that were born and stumbled through life, and then at the end were able to wrap things up and they died well. But Christians, we don't have, and I'm glad they died well. But I think we can all do a little better than that. We're born, and we're going to die one day, and we need to die well. But between now and the time God takes us off this planet, we need to live well. We don't have to wait till death to enjoy the victory. For we have victory today and live in victory. Do you recognize that? Brother Dave, would you just come and lead us in one verse of invitation? I don't feel led to go into anything that's drawn out, but I always want to give someone an opportunity if they need to come to the altar. The Lord's been good to us today, Westside. I left church today. I told my wife, I may have told you, I didn't know if I could stand up and preach tonight. My knees were so weak. I gave it everything I had, and God gave me everything I could take. I'm telling you, if you'd done any more, you'd have to pick me up off the floor. God's been good to us. The song service kind of went into that direction, that God has been good to us. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar. Let's stand up, please. And maybe you just like to say, "Lord, you've been good to me. Oh, I'm not talking about how many pairs of shoes you have. I'm not talking about how many electronic devices you have in your house. But the Lord's been good to you, and you just want to thank Him. This verse is open to the congregation if you just want to give your appreciation to God as we sing.
Just as I am without.